day, and it's a new episode of Paranormally Speaking. I'm your host, Neil Parks. This week is going to be a blast from the past, a bit of a walk through the last several years I've been doing this. And it's going to be volume 15, the best of what I've covered, with some new commercials and some new excerpts of my own design. So sit back, relax, buckle up if you're driving. Don't text and drive, but go ahead and set this episode to start playing the minute you go. Please hold for an important message from the advertiser.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
If alien races are so far advanced, I have to ask, if they're really visiting Earth, why did they keep crashing? That's something that's always puzzled me. This is Neil Parks, your host for Paranormally Speaking. This week, I will be discussing UFO visitations and why they keep crashing. And Raleigh, if the following article is true, it will turn out to be the most amazing and most earth-shattering, the most incredible story of this century. Why? Because this article says that human beings are not alone in the universe. It says that extraterrestrial species of intelligent beings exist on other planets, and that these extraterrestrial beings are visiting Earth through using advanced technologies. The headline alone is unbelievable. It's jaw-dropping. These quotes from the article, even more so. For example, Grush said the recoveries of partial fragments through and up to intact vehicles have been made for decades through the present day by the government, its allies, and defense contractors. The material includes intact and partially intact vehicles. The non-human intelligence phenomenon is real. We are not alone, Gray said. Retrievals of this kind are not limited to the United States. This is a global phenomenon, and yet a global solution continues to elude us. Grush said that the craft recovery operations are ongoing at various levels of activity, and that he knows the specific individuals, current and former, who are involved. His assertion concerning the existence of a terrestrial arms race occurring sub rosa over the past 80 years focused on reverse engineering technologies of unknown origin is fundamentally correct, as is the indisputable realization that at least some of these technologies of unknown origin derive from non-human intelligence. A vast array of our most sophisticated sensors, including space-based platforms, have been utilized by different agencies, typically in triplicate, to observe and accurately identify the out-of-this-world nature, performance, and design of these anomalies. These machines and are then determined not to be of earthly origin. There it is. With these six quotes, there can be no question. Human beings are not alone in the universe. Extraterrestrial beings are visiting Earth now, an amazing spacecraft, and they have been visiting us all around the globe that we know of for at least 80 years. Now, we know full well that they've been here all along, if you really pay attention. This article is acting as the seed of the UAPs, formerly known as UFOs. I still call them UFOs. And alien beings are real. Tor Media examples. Senator admits UFO whistleblower report tracks with official briefing. You can find that in Newsweek. What the heck is going on with these UFO stories? You can find that in the New York Times and on Apple Podcasts. Is the government concealing UFO craft and dead extraterrestrials? You can find that from the intelligence official U.S. government UFO info articles at www.bu.edu articles. But there is the problem here. Apparently, these aliens crash a lot. It is the observation that makes this whole article suspect, but it is true. These aliens must be coming to Earth and crashing their high-tech spacecraft on a regular basis. How else have these government agencies collected the intact and partially intact vehicles? Let's go a further step. This article is going to turn out to be nonsense. Despite the attempts in the article to make it sound completely credible and airtight, how can we tell that this article is nonsense? First, there is a prior observation. The idea that aliens arrive on Earth, fly around, then crash on a regular basis all over the globe. This notion is expressed in the article with sentences like, "Retrievals of this kind are not limited to the United States. This is a global phenomenon." What we must believe is that the aliens have been unable to develop safe, self-driving vehicles. Therefore, the aliens are driving their ships themselves, and they are terrible drivers. They frequently crash. That's what this article is insinuating. Now, fact of the matter is, whether these beings are from other worlds or from within our own planet living in underwater bases or in the center of the Earth and coming out to play a little bit and trading tech for information or tech for people to experiment on is one thing. But then for us and our limited knowledge, taking the same technology that they provide us with and trying to reverse engineer it, and we are the ones actually crashing the damn things. They are not. We have not figured out a fail-safe way to operate this machinery, to handle it, to handle the G-forces, to handle the ins and outs of deep space travel, wormhole theory. These things have got to be going 27G, and the human body cannot withstand that type of force. We must believe that every single one of these crash sites, regardless of the country where the crash occurs, is immediately and completely sealed off so that zero photographs or videos or materials from the crash sites have ever leaked into the public for 80 years. It means that these highly advanced aliens have an unshakable preference for tiny vehicles, roughly the size of an SUV. Think of the movies you have seen where aliens arrive on Earth, like Independence Day, Battle of Los Angeles, Battleship, War of the Worlds, Arrival. The list goes on. The aliens in these movies arrive in giant ships. Even the Starship Enterprise in Star Trek is a giant ship with hundreds of people on board. This is not to say that Hollywood knows everything there is to know about alien arrivals, but aliens would not arrive and the alien equivalent of a flying SUV, so they can zip around our planet and then crash. If aliens do exist, it is quite unlikely that they are traveling the universe in SUV-sized vehicles. Why? Because these are practical things like food, beverages, restrooms, beds, engines, fuel, wardrobes, life support systems, communication systems, tools, instruments, exercise equipment, and so on that need to fit somewhere on a long journey. The point being that the ships would be huge, potentially enormous, and the crash sites would therefore be impossible to hide. Someone is thinking the flying SUVs could be coming from enormous motherships. That means that there would be motherships, and why wouldn't they also be crashing? Honestly, they're staying out of our orbit. They're cloaked, or they're able to zip in and out of a self replicated wormhole that they project, move through, and then close behind them. I could keep going on, but you can see the point. It simply is not possible that aliens are zipping around all over the planet in exotic SUV-sized ships and crashing all the time with zero witnesses. It is not happening. The things that are crashed and that are found are probably either man-made reversed engineered from their technology, or it's a probe sent by a much larger ship that malfunctions one way or another, something in our atmosphere, something with either 5G or something with our advancements in technology, is disrupting a simple probe and causing it to crash.
T-Mobile believes customers deserve to get more without paying more. Everything from entertainment benefits like Netflix on Us to travel benefits to Scam Shield protection, all with taxes and fees included. So the price you see is the price you pay. When you're a T-Mobile customer, you get over $225 in value every month in benefits with our Max Family plan.
That's like paying for nosebleed seats and getting to sit in the front row.
That's right. At T-Mobile, your family gets over $225 worth of value and benefits with our Max plan each and every month. Plus, with our price lock guarantee, we won't raise your rate plan price for talk, text, and data ever.
That's like paying for a cab and getting a stretch limo.
At T-Mobile, you get value beyond the expected.
Qualifying service required. Value based on included monthly benefits. Sales tax and regulatory fees included in Max's monthly price. Price lock guarantees rate price of talk, text, and data for new accounts with qualifying service. Exclusions apply. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Ex-intelligence official says government is hiding alien technology from Congress. The past 6 years have been a real roller coaster for the extraterrestrial-minded in America. In 2017, the New York Times revealed that former Senator Harry Reid had previously snuck away $22 million in defense funding to investigate unidentified foreign objects. Since then, some Navy pilots have come forward to report frequent UFO sightings, while the Pentagon has revamped its investigation process in an effort to take the matter more seriously. The increased scrutiny hasn't led to any breakthroughs. It turns out many of the objects the pilots sighted were just balloons. Right, but a new report from Leslie Keene and Ralph Bluthenol, part of the team that broke the Times story in 2017, gives hope to the alien optimists. On the science website, The Debrief, the pair described the story of a defense intelligence whistleblower, David Charles Grusch, who has alleged that the intelligence community is hiding classified evidence of intact and partially intact crafts of non-human origin. In a later interview in News Nation, Grusch even claimed that the government has evidence of alien life in crashed spacecraft from another planet. Well, naturally, when you recover something that's either landed or crashed, sometimes you encounter dead pilots, he said. And believe it or not, as fantastical as that sounds, it's true. Grusch claims in a complaint that the Pentagon, other nations, and the defense contractors have recovered fragments of exotic origin, non-human intelligence, whether extraterrestrial or unknown origin, based in the vehicle morphologies and material science testing, and the possession of unique atom arrangements and radiological signatures. Grusch goes on to state that the material includes intact and partially intact vehicles. While a previous UFO expert in the government might have been discredited, Grusch has bona fides that are worth taking seriously. Grusch is a 36-year-old combat veteran of Afghanistan who was a member of the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, the program run by the Office of the Naval Intelligence to investigate UFO sightings from 2019 to 2021. He served on the task force as the representative of the National Reconnaissance Office, considered one of the big five of the U.S. intelligence agencies. His colleagues think highly of him as well. Carl Nell, a retired Army colonel who was also on the UFO task force, told The Debrief that Grusch was beyond reproach. Nell also backed up one of the Grusch's claims in the complaint that there is an ongoing competition with other countries to identify UFO crashes, landings, and retrieve the material for exploitation and reverse engineering. His assertion concerning the existence of a terrestrial arms race occurring sub rosa over the past 80 years focused on reverse engineering technologies of unknown origin and is fundamentally correct. Nell told The Debrief as the indisputable realization that at least some of these technologies of unknown origin derive from non-human intelligence. Another intelligence official investigating UFOs, Jonathan Gray concurred. The non-human intelligence phenomenon is real. We are not alone, he said. This is a global phenomenon and yet a global solution. It continues to elude us all. An unclassified version of the complaint shared with Debrief states that the evidence of extraterrestrial tech was illegally withheld from congressional oversight by the intelligence community in order to purposely and intentionally thwart legitimate congressional oversight of the UAP program. When Grosch raised the concern, he was subject to months of retaliation. He requested that the details of that retaliation be withheld to protect the integrity of the ongoing investigation, per the report. An intelligence investigation has been launched in response to his whistleblower complaint, while the House Permanent Select Committee on the Intelligence did not comment. The Pentagon cleared the information in the report in April of 2023. The debrief has also provided a look into its fact-checking and reporting process for the story. Grosch, who retired in April, said that he hoped his claims would provide an ontological shock in the interview with News Nation. Grosch explained and expanded on his claims. These are retrieving non-human origin technical vehicles. Call it spacecraft if you will. Non-human exotic origin vehicles that have either landed or crashed, he said. I thought at first I was being deceived. It was a ruse, he added. But as his career progressed, people started to confide in me, approach me. I have plenty of senior, former intelligence officers that came to me, many of which I knew almost my entire career. They confided in me, and they were part of a program. Grosch added that he had not seen photographs of the spacecraft themselves. In April, the director of the Pentagon's UFO research told the Senate in April that they found no credible evidence thus far of extraterrestrial activity, off-world technology, or objects that defy the known laws of physics. Soon after Grosch's claims were made public, a Department of Defense spokesperson told the mainstream media that there is no verifiable evidence or information to substantiate the claim.
Boston, 1898. Clara Fowler arrives at the office of renowned psychotherapist Dr. Morton Prince, plagued by visions, exalted by apparitions of the Virgin Mary, cursed by a demonic presence, obsessed with her demise. A city marshal pursues Clara, hell-bent on pinning the murders of her infant siblings on her father and uncovering their connection to the serial killings of Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes. What happens next is more shocking than the grizzled lawman could ever imagine. The Unwelcomed by Ron Felber. Pre-order on Amazon or where books are sold.
There are much worse things than snakes on a plane, ghosts on a plane, scary stories of haunted travel. We've all heard stories about haunted hotels. They send chills down your spine and sometimes make you double check online reviews out of paranoia. After all, hotels are kind of creepy when you think about it. The Shining come to mind? You never know what went on in your room before you got there. But have you ever stopped to think about the ghosts you might be encountering on your journey? Here are a few phantom tales that might give you a new perspective. Starting with Flight 401. In 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 crashed into the Florida Everglades, claiming 101 lives, including those of Captain Robert Bob Loft and flight engineer Donald Don Repo. Many parts of the plane, especially those in the galley, were deemed reusable and were therefore salvaged and installed on another plane in the Eastern's fleet. That's when the alleged paranormal appearances began. On planes where salvaged parts had been installed, the ghosts of Bob Loft and Don Repo started to turn up. In one instance, the story goes that an airline VP had a pleasant conversation with a man in a captain's uniform shortly after boarding. He realized halfway through that he recognized the man as the deceased Captain Bob Loft. In another tale, a flight attendant reported seeing the face of Don Repo in an oven door. She grabbed two of the other members of the crew to come back and take a look, just in time to hear the specter say, "Watch out for the fire in this plane." Sure enough, the engine failed on the return flight and was shut down just before catching fire. It didn't take long before stories of these ghostly encounters began to circulate, almost always sharing a common thread. These friendly phantoms were trying to protect the planes and those aboard. The sightings were limited to just crew, and then eventually passengers. There were several reports of them seeing the same ghosts as well as what the crew were seeing. Eventually, the threat of bad press and the crew's fear prompted the airline to remove all salvaged parts from the affected jets. That didn't, however, halt the release of the book, The Ghost of Flight 401, as well as a movie by the same title, Heathrow Airport. In the 1930s, there was a highwayman by the name of Dick Turpin. He would steal, torture, and kill, taking anything and everything he could in the 1730s. Not the 1930s. The scoundrel was finally caught and sentenced to death in 1739. But Turpin took matters into his own hands and jumped from the gallows with a noose around his neck, effectively killing himself. And for some reason, his ghost has reportedly taken a liking to the grounds of Heathrow Airport. Reports of sightings can be tracked back to a time before the airport was even constructed. Descriptions of an alleged sightings often include a black stallion, while many report seeing Turpin standing in the main terminal wearing period clothing, including a tri-cornered hat. Over the years, Denver International Airport has established a reputation for being one of the most evil places in the world, owing mostly to conspiracy theories rather than ghosts. Nevertheless, the story goes that you'll hear unnerving Native American chanting between Concourse A and the Jepson Terminal building. Employees assert that it's music being played on a loop as part of the arts program. Others agree that it's music being played on a loop, but that its purpose is to drive out any angry Native spirits. Meanwhile, a third option maintains that it's actual ghosts chanting. But who really knows where the truth begins and ends? It's been reported that the airport was constructed on sacred Native American land, perhaps angering any spirits left behind. That claim has been refuted, with airport staff citing that the ground was surveyed by archaeologists prior to the build. However, in 1995, Native American spiritual leaders performed a ceremony to lay any remaining spirits to rest. You know, just to be on the safe side. Vancouver Waterfront Station. Vancouver Waterfront Station is said to be the most haunted place in the city, with almost all spooky sightings occurring at night. Security guards on night patrol have reported seeing several instances of odd activity. For instance, guards and various crew have reported hearing 1920s music not being played by the sound system, accompanied by a dancing woman adorned in clothing of that era, but no musical equipment found, but only heard. And another tale, the phantom of a rail worker who died a very violent death whilst working in the yard is reported to show up at night. If you're wondering how he died, let's just say his ghost appears with a lantern and is always looking for something, his head. The same story pertains to the Moonville Tunnels in Eastern Ohio, where there's a headless lantern man looking for his head and trying to warn people to not go through the tunnel. The Phantom Bus of London. Long before the night bus made its first appearance in Harry Potter, there was a Phantom Bus of London, described as a red double-decker bus with a number 7 on the side. This haunted transport has been the stuff of legend since 1934. Motoring along one night, a driver met his untimely demise when he swerved suddenly and ran into a wall. Witnesses described seeing a ghostly bus driving down the center of the road, which caused the crash. In the years that follow, several other sightings were reported, corroborating the original claims. A ghost bus, would appear in Cambridge Gardens at exactly 1:15 a.m., with no driver and no passengers, inexplicably carrying and careening down the road, causing frightened motorists in its path to swerve out of the way and get into accidents. The bus hasn't been seen since 1990, just before the curved road leading up to the infamous intersection was removed and straightened, creating a whole new path. That broke that curse of the Phantom Bus of London. Same type of story about a phantom plane has been seen in and around flying over England by other planes and various other witnesses who are either on a passenger plane or at the time in a commercial airliner.
Fantastic. Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries. Log on to www.theufostore.com and request a free UFO store catalog. Theufostore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the internet.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
That's terrific.
We assume Bigfoot crossed the road to get to the other side, as the old joke goes, but when the enigmatic hominid, nobody knows for sure. Here's what we do know. On June 22, 2009, at around 6:30 p.m., a 19-year-old college student was driving on a curvy road near Rhinebeck, New York. Now, this was a back road. On the way to a rehearsal at a nearby performing arts center, according to the BFRO report, as he swerved to miss an object on the road, a shopping bag containing, oddly, an open cereal box and a small log. He glanced in his rearview mirror and saw someone or something darting behind his car, apparently to retrieve the bag. A moment later, the student stopped and turned his car around and got a 3 to 4 second glimpse of something walking on 2 feet, about 50 feet away. He described the creature, which he saw from the rear and side profile, as being between 7 to 7.5 feet. Covered with black hair and possessing broad muscular shoulders with arms that swung in an exaggerated fashion and palms that faced upwards, the witness recalled that he felt nervous, confused, and excited at the same time during his brief encounter. At about 1:30 on the morning of January 8th in 2008, a big rig driver was hauling a load of Idaho potatoes on US I-15 near the town of Skiripio, just outside of St. George, Utah. As he downshifted and headed down an incline, the fog grew increasingly heavy. The driver noticed something by the side of the road with glowing eyes and thought it might be a deer. When he switched on his high beams, he was startled to see a gigantic creature running across the road from left to right on long strides, just 20 feet or so away. According to an interview with the BFRO investigator, he later estimated, based on a comparison of his truck and factoring on the distance, that the creature was at least 10 feet tall and between 600 to 800 pounds. It had black hair and big eyebrows and long, lanky arms that were proportionally longer than a human's. For a moment, it turned its head and stared at the rapidly approaching truck. The driver swerved hard to the middle of the freeway to avoid hitting the creature, which nearly caused the truck to crash. Fortunately, he regained control of the vehicle but he managed to roll to a stop 200 to 300 yards away and looked back. The mysterious figure was gone. The driver, an avid outdoorsman and hunter, told the BFRO investigator that he'd always been skeptical about the existence of Bigfoot, but after actually seeing one in the flesh, he changed his mind. His opinion was forever changed. It scared the hell out of me, he admitted. Another such instance, it was about 6:15 on the morning of September 1st, 2009. A woman commuting to a job in Riffle, Colorado, was feeling a little groggy on her way to work, despite her usual cup of takeout coffee. Just before she started up through Independence Pass, she decided to pull her truck over to the side of the road and get a little fresh air. As she got out of the truck, she noticed some movement in the meadow directly ahead of her. At first, she thought it might be a bear. But when the creature stood up, she saw that it had arms that hung to its side just like a person. The creature was huge and had a cinnamon-colored style fur. She told BFRO, the investigator. And after some coaxing on the part of the investigators, she also revealed that it had an additional anatomical feature, a pair of large breasts. Prior to the encounter, she witnessed admitted that she had always poo-pooed the possibility of such creatures existing, but said, "My life is forever changed." At around dusk, on August 29th, 2011, a woman was outside her house with a litter of whippet puppies who were going potty when she heard a whistling sound, the sort that she makes when she's trying to get the attention of her dogs. Thinking that it might be another one of her pets, a parrot perhaps, she did a few back-and-forth whistles with the source. Then one of her adult dogs, an Australian Shepherd, woofed and barked wildly, and she heard a loud rustle in the nearby forest. She looked up to see a tall, hairy creature. It was an estimated 8 to 9 feet tall. And when it saw her, it let go of the tree branch it was holding down with, and it stepped back into the trees and disappeared. The investigator with BFRO who interviewed the witness noticed that she was a former deer hunter and experienced in the outdoors, and thus unlikely to have mistaken the creature for another large animal. I'm sure that Bigfoot's curiosity would be heightened by a new woman living in the previously unoccupied house and a litter full of whippet puppies, he concluded. On October 23rd, 2010, at about 7:15 a.m., a deer hunter parked his all-terrain vehicle on a trail and quietly slipped into the still darkened woods. He hoped to make it to his favorite clearing without spooking any deer in the area. As he was walking, he noticed a very large animal walking about 10 yards ahead of the trail. Oddly, while it didn't appear to be running, the animal seemed to cover about 15 to 20 feet. In just two strides, it made no noticeable noise. The hunter clicked on his flashlight. "What I saw made my hair stand on end," he wrote in his report on the BFRO website. The creature was between 7 and 7.5 feet tall, and he estimated that it weighed around 500 pounds. It was muscular and covered with dark fur, with long arms and slightly hunched posture. "I have seen a few bears, and I know positively that it was not a bear," he explained in his report. The creature quickly moved down a hillside and was gone after a few seconds. It all happened so quickly that he never even thought of using the digital camera he had with him. "I used to think that Sasquatch couldn't exist because we would have seen it already, and if I saw it, there'd be tons of pictures," he admitted. "But now I can see why that isn't true. You're usually startled by that point upon noticing it, and it's too late." In the swamps of Florida, Bigfoot is known by a different name, the skunk ape, an apparent reference to the appalling smell that the creature supposedly exudes, according to the BBC. The stinky creature may have been spotted on morning of 2011. According to the report on the BFRO website, a fishing guide was using a pole to propel a flatboat in a mangrove swamp when he and his two clients, a commercial pilot and an attorney, spotted something on the shore about 100 yards away. At first, the guide thought The creature might be a feral hog, or possibly a bear. But as the boat got closer, the creature, which apparently had been rooting through the sand or fish, for fish or crustaceans to eat, turned and stood up to look directly at them. The guide estimated the apparent skunk ape was as wide as a side-by-side refrigerator freezer, with a muscular torso, a ZZ Top-looking beard, and a hairless forehead. The creature stared at them for about 15 seconds and then made a guttural moan and a sort of a snort and walked away into the mangroves. And this next one, based on the stories that have been shared with me from my listeners and people who follow my channel. On July 2009, a worker was returning home from a deck building job at about 6 p.m. As he drove through a wooded area near houses and a school, he noticed what first appeared to be a man standing on the side of the road. As the car got closer, however, the man suddenly bolted into the woods like a wild animal spooked by human presence. The driver slowed down and watched the creature run about 30 yards and then make a turn, which enabled the driver to get a better look at him. Unlike other reports that depict Bigfoot as gigantic, the driver reported that the creature was about 6 feet high, maybe 200 pounds. He said the creature was covered in shaggy, rust-colored fur and ran with a strange, hoppy, bounding motion. It was either real or there was a man in a very, very convincing costume, the witness reported to the BFRO website. Another one, on October 25th, 2010, a man was watching a movie at about 1 a.m. when he heard a noise outside his house. This sounded like a long blast from a car horn or a police siren. He hit the mute on his TV and realized that the sound was more like a howl or an injured animal. He assumed that it was a bear or a mountain lion. The next evening, a friend came to pick him up to drive to a casino at about 8 p.m. The two men had driven about 4 miles when they both heard the noise once again. They slowed down and the noise stopped. They resumed driving and then suddenly had to swerve to avoid a car ahead of them and had abruptly stopped. It was then that the two gamblers spotted what appeared to be a man-like creature at least 10 feet tall, covered in dark brown and black fur, with eyes that glowed from the reflection of their headlights. Human eyes don't do that, the witness explained in his report. After 20 to 30 seconds, the creature walked off with a fluid gait and definitely was not human. And the two men quickly drove off in fear. They came home that evening by a different route to avoid another encounter. And the witnesses are now true believers, they describe themselves as being. They believe in Bigfoot, but added, if it's Bigfoot or not, I don't want that coming around my house, nor do I want to encounter it again. This one from September 8, 2007, happened between 8:30 and 9 p.m. A local law enforcement officer was driving to answer an alarm call on a ranch when he noticed someone or something coming up out of the ravine onto the side of the road. I thought to myself that I might have surprised someone who might have been growing marijuana in the woods or something like that, the officer reported to the BFRO website. But when he hit the brakes and quickly backed up, the headlights illuminated what he described as a creature about 7 to 8 feet tall, covered with thick brown matted fur, and walked upright. It had leaves and grass matted into its fur on the back, and it had been lying down at one point and was moving very slowly. The creature turned away from the officer and returned to the overgrowth, pushing aside small tree limbs and to clear its path. It was visible for only a few seconds, but he could hear the crunching noise and its movements for a bit longer. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, the officer wrote. It was definitely something I was not going to put out on the radio. And last but not least, this was submitted to me this week, as a matter of fact. You would think that a feral ape-like creature would tread lightly around humans who are equipped to respond to a sighting with a hail of bullets. Surprisingly, though, Bigfoot seems oblivious to our puny human weaponry, as a Blackstone VA man, Virginia, and his son discovered in the early morning hours of May 3rd, 2011, when the two heard a loud noise outside their home. The man grabbed his pistol and the son picked up his shotgun, and they were outside to investigate, figuring that they would encounter either a burglar or a bear. Instead, the man reported on the BFRO website they were confronted by an 8-foot-tall, hair-covered humanoid creature running toward them from the nearby woods. The man screamed at the creature to stop and told his son to shoot, which he did, into the air. The creature shrieked but continued running toward them, getting to within 15 feet before the pair retreated back to their house. "I was in terror," the man wrote. He recalled that evening that the pervasive odor that really stunk from the Bigfoot and left footprints that were 8 to 20 inches. An investigator who visited the man's farm and interviewed him documented a series of other unusual incidences, including loud wails and slaps in the side of the house at night, suggesting that Bigfoot had paid him repeat visits. Could it be a warning? Could it be him hunting man instead of man hunting for Bigfoot? The world may never know, and hopefully that encounter does not turn south. Please hold for an important message from our sponsor.
You've made iHeartRadio the fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio. Replay. That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save.
Save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio now on demand.
Welcome to another amazing episode of Paranormally Speaking. I'm your host, Neil Parks. This week, I will be talking about alien invasions starting in the month of March. We are now on the sixth day of the month of March, and according to a self-proclaimed time traveler, this is when we will see the proverbial poop hit the fan, that being a full-scale alien invasion. Not sure how this is going to go, but I do have a lot of interesting information to share with you. The hostile alien threat will take over the Earth in March of 2023. The TikTok time traveler known as Eno Alaric, who goes by Radiant Time Traveler, claims that he came from the year 2671 and that hostile aliens will take back the planet in 2023. Now, he posts under Radiant Time Traveler on the social media platform and has warned his 129,000 followers. The alien known as the Champion will swoop down onto the Earth this March. The alleged time traveler claims they come from the year 2671 and regularly posts about major events yet to happen. When referencing the worldwide alien invasion, he claims that it will occur in just 2 months' time, he said. The world will soon end and only a handful of people will survive. Using dramatic graphics in his TikTok clips, Eno warned the world will soon end. A very hostile alien species is coming to take back the Earth. We will not win. Another alien whose world was destroyed by the hostiles will come here to save some of us. On March 23rd, 2023, about 8,000 people will be taken to another habitable planet, according to him. In previous posts, Eno claimed on February 6, four teenagers will discover ancient ruins and a device that will open a wormhole to transport them to other galaxies. It goes on from there. They also warned that in May, a huge 750-foot tsunami will hit California and mostly affect the San Francisco area. Social media users have brushed off the peculiar claims after arguing the supposed time traveler's previous predictions didn't back up. One responded, "What about the 10 people getting superpowers? Did that not happen?" Another noted, What about the big meteor that was supposed to hit the Earth this month? Somebody else joked, I am a time traveler and I want to inform you that Sunday is the year 2023. A fourth user questioned, if it's going to end soon, then how were you alive in 2671? Eno replied to the skeptical comments saying, as I said, 8,000 are taken to another planet, and I am among them. However, it is not the first time a TikTok time traveler has claimed aliens will land on Earth. Another user, real TikTok time traveler, claimed to be from the year 2236, and he said that in May 2022, that aliens would make contact with Earth over the summer last year. They also alleged that a hacker would take over social media and delete millions of people's TikTok accounts. The warnings read, many people still don't believe me. I am a real time traveler from the year 2236, and I have come to this date and time to warn you about the upcoming events this year. On July 7th, humans are going to have their first real contact with the alien species called Arzax on the south side of Alaska in the United States. On August 13th, a hacker by the name of Stack will delete over 36.7 million TikTok accounts due to their strong beliefs against social media. While these predictions prove to be false, only time will tell if Eno's predictions of an alien landing on Earth this year actually comes true. So I have that and more in store for you in this episode of Paranormally Speaking. Will this be among the last episodes of my podcast because of the world ending? The world has been ending since it was created. That's a fact that we should all be able to agree on. Will all of us be taken by a rapture when the Christian God returns and those who did not follow or obey or be nice to one another or to the less than will die and perish in hell for all eternity, while those that lived a good life and followed God's commandments go on to heaven for all eternity? Will there be a full-scale alien invasion, and we find out that this is all just a social experiment created by some hierarchy that's actually an alien observing us from the amusement of his own living room while eating popcorn? Or is there really nothing at all in the end, and those of us who have followed a deity or have gone to church regularly, even though those that did right by themselves and lived a good life, was there something missing in between? Now, what if this is all just a big joke, a big lie, a big simulation, and we really are just a computer program? It's open to interpretation. I mean, I have my belief system, and I'm sure each one of my listeners have their own. I'm not here to convert or preach to anyone, but what I believe works for me, and I'm sure it does for you. So please hold for an important message from one of my sponsors, and I will return with more from Paranormally Speaking.
Unparalleled insider access. Get it all. Introducing the SiriusXM Platinum VIP plan. Our newest, most exclusive plan. Listen in two cars, plus stream anywhere with two app logins. Access a massive, exclusive library of live concert video and audio recordings through nugs.net. Have opportunities to experience live and virtual SiriusXM events, including VIP-only exclusives. Get all your questions answered by a dedicated VIP customer care team. Plus, get all the entertainment we've got. It's all included with your Platinum VIP subscription. Be a VIP. Call 844-711-8800 to learn more. Offer details apply. One login per activated vehicle. Not available in Canada.
Why do people see sea monsters? The open ocean can be a terrifying place. Miles from shore on storm-tossed seas, with nothing but water in all directions, including straight down, a sailor or a fisherman cannot help but wonder what lurks in the depths. When the oceans were still unexplored, these fears often took the form of imaginary monsters. Many sea monsters include features from living animals, A large tentacle becomes part of a monstrous sea serpent or many-armed kraken. The eyes see a fragment. The mind fills in the rest. A blend of telltales, tall tales at that, mistaken identity, and resonate cultural symbols within. Stories of sea monsters often reveal more about the minds of the imaginers than they do about the natural world around us. It was a giant squid, 25 feet long. It was heading toward the Nautilus, swimming backward very fast. We could clearly make out about 250 suckers lining the inside of its tentacles, some of which fastened onto glass panels of the lounge. The monster's mouth, a horny beak like a parakeet, opened and closed vertically. What a whim of nature, a bird's beak and a mollusk. Jules Verne, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Then there's many-armed monsters. The mythical kraken may be the largest sea monster ever imagined. Some stories described it as more than 2.5 kilometers, 1.5 miles, around with arms as large as ship's masts. Perhaps based on sightings of giant squid tentacles, this multi-armed monster rarely attacked humans, preferring to stay in deep water where it feasted on fish. The chief dangers came from being too close when it surfaced or too close when it sank, as a boat could be sucked down in a whirlpool created when it submerged. It was described in Scandinavian stories dating back about 1180 AD. The kraken was said to live near Norway and Iceland. Long, flexible arms or tentacles like those of a giant squid or octopus. Limbs so large they looked like a ring of islands. It ate huge quantities of fish, which it lured with an enticing smell. Fishermen would rush over, hoping to snare a share of the kraken's catch. When a kraken surfaced, a shimmering cascade of fish might be seen tumbling down its back. Now, moving along to the most recent sightings, currently reported specific sea monsters, water monsters, lake monsters, such as Cadborosaurus of the Pacific Northwest, Champ of Lake Champlain, Chessie of the Chesapeake Bay, of course, Nessie of Loch Ness. Champ is Nessie's cousin. They are both described as what a plateosaurus would have looked like. And then there's Izzy of Lake Ikeda in Kyoshoku. Then there's Ogopogo of the Okanagan Lake. There's Luska, Morguar. Then there's Ninjin, a humanoid creature sighted in the seas of North Japan. Shoreladdy, it's in Westfjords, Iceland. Arfinforjor. The seahorse, Arfinforjor, West Yorge in Ireland, Iceland. The shell monster, Arfinjor, Westfjords, Iceland. And the merman, also in Westfjords, Iceland. Creatures of H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos, including Cthulhu himself, or Cthulhu, however you wish to pronounce it. It's pronounced about three different ways. Creatures in such sci-fi horror films as Deep Star 6, The Rift, Deep Rising, and Deep Shock. Clover, Cyrus from Cyrus, the Unsinkable Sea Serpent by Bill Peet. Fictional portrayals of the giant squid, like in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Giant octopus in It Came from Beneath the Sea. Iku Toruso in Lanrot's Kavala. Giganto, Godzilla, Mothra, Gorgo, Manda, Kraken is depicted in Clash of the Titans, both the 1981 and 2010 versions, as well as the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. That version of the Kraken is very different from the one in Clash of the Titans. Ibira, Titanosaurus, Zigra, Moby Dick, Retosaurus, the Terrible Dogfish, Jaws, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, Sea Serpent as depicted in C.S. Lewis's novel The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Ghosts, aliens, UFOs, Bigfoot, parallel universes, angels and demons, time travel, cryptozoology, and so much more within the realm of the unexplained, the strange, and the out of this world. I'm your host, Neil Parks, award-winning author, screenwriter, researcher, and paranormal professional. Join me every week as I tackle hot-button topics within the paranormal realm. I'll share personal accounts, my research, and secondhand evidence. I will read excerpts and stories from my books and discuss my upcoming projects in the literary world. Documentaries, both on TV and the big screen, plus my independent film projects. Paranormally Speaking is both thought-provoking and entertaining. New episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in to Paranormally Speaking and prepare to be enlightened. Are you prepared for this? A massive 50-foot megalodon detected in the Atlantic Ocean stuns scientists. Daddy Shark. I'm not singing it like the Mommy Shark song. I refuse to do that. Researchers are flabbergasted after picking what appeared to be a massive 50-foot megalodon on sea scanners underneath their boat. An Instagram post detailing the alleged discovery was making waves amid the shark scourge plaguing U.S. waters. On a recent shark research trip, they were all amused to see the shape appear on their fish finder for several minutes. Researchers with the Atlantic Shark Institute wrote regarding the sinister shape detected in undisclosed waters. They initially mistook it for a megalodon, a prehistoric shark that's been extinct for 3 million years, and was the subject of the 2018 horror movie Meg, which is a lot better than people give it credit for, based on the book of the same name. Based on the length of the image, we estimated the Meg to be about 50 feet long, weighing in at 40 tons, the ecstatic researchers wrote. An accompanying screenshot of the fish finder shows the massive mark, which appeared to be in the shape of a giant shark, complete with a dorsal fin. Unfortunately, the science excitement quickly faded after the mythical monster turned out to be just a school of fish. In other words, it was a red herring. A red herring. We waited for one of the rods to go off, however. Much to our disappointment, the shape started to transition into a large school of Atlantic mackerel that hung around the boat for about 15 minutes. Lamented the disillusioned researcher, so close but so far, the megalodon, Atodus megalodon, disappeared more than 3 million years ago and will likely stay that way, but for a few minutes, we thought he had returned. Instagram viewers commiserated with the crestfallen shark enthusiasts. I got excited for 10 seconds, said one, while another wrote, ha ha, that would have got my heart racing. I was hopeful. Rude another armchair cryptozoologist. Meg had a huge boop there. Almost wish she was real. Almost. As of yet, no one has seen a megalodon, also known as megatooth shark, which reportedly went extinct around 2.58 million years ago, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica. But there has been a picture that has been floating around the internet and has been analyzed by several digital experts, photographic experts, and has been deemed authentic. It is a picture taken from a aircraft carrier photographing a Nazi submarine, and the Nazis are standing on top of the sub with their arms in the air as to surrender. And off in the distance, next to the sub, relatively close in fact, you see a huge dorsal fin. And based on the size of the dorsal fin and where the tail of this shark pops up, it exceeds the length of the submarine. The length is thought to be in excess of 70 feet long with this shark. And this was photographed, it's a black and white still photo, from the archives of World War II, Nazi surrender on such and such date. And the picture has been floating around a bit. And of course, you've got people in today's day and age arguing that it's photoshopped, it's so authentic, there's no way this was photographed, a shark that large would have swallowed the submarine. Not necessarily. I mean, sharks are more observers than they are aggressors anyway. The largest fish ever known, the megalodon, reportedly weighed up to 143,000 pounds and attained a maximum length of 59 feet, three times as long as the biggest great white sharks. If that wasn't terrifying enough, the monstrous predator also boasted a 10-foot-wide mouth, which is reportedly used to devour whales and other supersized prey. While the shark itself has yet to be seen by human eyes, its colossal fossilized teeth are fairly common, with a recent discovery coming that had actually showed up in 2020 when a South Carolina woman found one that weighed a pound. In a similar incident a couple of years ago, cruise ship passengers were flabbergasted after spotting a giant shark in the Atlantic Ocean that many social media users speculated was a megalodon. However, others surmised that the beast was a basking shark, a harmless filter feeder that's as big as a double-decker bus. Well, like 40, 50 feet long. Not too bad. Well, that's it, and I am done for the week. Please join me next week for an all-new episode of Paranormally Speaking. Have a great weekend. Sunday is Ash Sunday. That's a Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, it's the beginning of Lent. This Sunday is Palm Sunday. For anyone who observes Easter for the religious reasons, you'll know why. Plus, it's, I believe, the beginning of Passover for Judeo people of the Jewish faith. So have a great weekend and observe the Easter season the way you always do. Thank you, and I will catch you next time.